Hey guys, what's up? It's Raven and
Taylor. Fun fact, this one's a little weird, but did you guys know that the voice of Mickey Mouse and the voice of Minnie Mouse actually got married in real life? Did you know that?
No, I did not know that.
Yes,
okay. That's so cute.
I started playing Dream Light Valley. It's a little game. And I was doing some research because I'm a Virgo. And I came across that and I was like, what? They were married for 18 years. Yeah. Aww. I think the wife died. One of them passed.
Rest in peace.
So cute.
To Minnie. I thought you were going to say they were voiced by the same person.
No, but they're like a couple.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah.
But on another note, today I am joined by the one and only Miss Taylor Lloyd.
Hi.
Your new tech bestie. Taylor is my actual bestie.
Period.
She also is on the RETV team. I think we are kind of not sure of your exact job title anymore. I was going to give you a professional introduction, yeah. But what... How would you describe your job title for RETV currently these days?
You know, it changes. I float. I like to say I'm a floater. I kind of step in and support wherever I'm needed. I feel like a lot of the stuff I do is operational. So software mishaps, real life mishaps.
I think originally we were calling you operations manager.
Yeah.
Yeah, it has changed quite a bit. It's just like she said, wherever she needs to step in at any given moment, she's very good at just going with the flow and filling in where she needs to fill in. Yeah. It'd be a lot of different things going on depending on the day, the week.
Yeah.
So
right now I'm HR because I am hiring.
That's true.
Another person I hired, Zoe. So like,
yeah, she's the one. We got to give her the props for the fact that Zoe is on the team now. She yes. is the one responsible for that.
Yeah. And we love Zoe.
We so. Love Zoe. I love Zoe so much. So thankful for Zoe. Hallelujah. Y'all don't yeah. understand.
Absolutely. So we're bringing in someone new and that's kind of been under my role. So you can see how it's just kind of like whatever really is needed and I can do it. I'm like, it's fine. I'll take it.
To give more context for the people at home,
yeah.
could you walk us through, even though it changes a lot, like give us some examples of what you do for RETV? Like what does a week in the life at RETV look like?
Yeah, okay. Well, it does change from week to week, but we all do Monday meetings together.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we do Monday meetings, we kind of break off with individual projects. So for instance, the past week or so, I've been doing more HR things. So basically what that looks like is, and Zoe's been helping me. Thank God for Zoe. She's been helping me find applicants, but we basically had to build a description, a job description, or create a job on RETV for a media intern. So we went through the process of actually creating the job and figuring out what the role is going to be, what this person's going to do, how they're going to fit into the team, figured that out, and then put that up on all the sites that we use to actually bring people in. Plus Zoe, she is asking people from her school mm-hmm. as well. So we're getting kind of references from both. Then after that, I have to restructure the actual hiring process because from full-time, it looks one way, but this is an intern, so it's a little bit different. So you kind of have to create the process, how many interviews, forms that need to be filled out, questions for interviews, the interview process for each individual person, how are we going to bring them on, documentation, all the things that they need to sign.
It's a lot that goes into hiring someone mm-hmm. in a professional manner. I mean, of course, yeah. you could just be like, oh, you sound cool, come to my house.
But we don't do that. We need mm-mm. NDAs.
We're trying to do it the most professional, yeah. correct way. Obviously, especially if I'm hiring someone who's going to be coming into my home.
Absolutely.
We're trying to background cover our
checks,
bases.
Yeah. All the things. Like, it's a real hiring process. And like, even though those things sound like, oh, just a form or just a document, it's like, no.
yeah.
These take hours of research and like constructing. So that's what my weeks have been looking like since we've been hiring. Prior to that, we do digital products and like people know about that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
She's been helping me with the digital product mm-hmm. coming soon. I mean, by this time, I mean, yeah, it'll yeah. still be coming soon by the time y'all see this podcast episode. But my yeah. party planning guide that I've been teasing.
Yes.
She's been helping behind the scenes with putting mm-hmm. that together.
Yes. I'm always encouraging Raven to do new things. I yes. think it's working.
It
she's
is working.
She's being way more open about like expanding. And so we're constantly brainstorming. We spend a lot of time thinking about like, what's next? Like, what are we going to be doing next? How are we going to expand the company? And so I put a lot of brain power into that as well. And then just support outside of RETV. being her bestie.
Yeah, it helps that she's my actual friend in real life, because sometimes I just need emotional support.
And I'm there for that.
A loving hand. Yes. A shoulder to cry on, literally.
Yeah.
And also all the like click up
stuff. Because we do use different softwares, and like I took the time to find... I'm not going to say the perfect softwares, but I'll say the best for the job. And so we use ClickUp, and Raven has a big team. I always tell her, I'm like, you're so modest with like how big things are behind the scenes. She's like, my team. And I'm like, tell them how many people. Tell them how much it takes.
How many people is it?
It's me, over 10.
My mom, you, Zoe, Maya, Brianna.
Your dad.
My dad.
The editors.
The editors, which Chloe. Is like three people. Chloe.
The designer, yeah.
Rel occasionally.
Exactly. And like any contractors that we have to bring in, like technically they're a part of making the vision. It's a lot of people, y'all. So we use ClickUp, and it's a learning
ClickUp so much.
It's a learning curve, but it's probably the best product to support a team of this size and all the communications that we have and all the different individual, like I wish we could give you a screenshot of what our ClickUp looked like.
For people who don't know what ClickUp is, how would you describe it?
It's a CRM software. So basically, it's a software that, think like project management. So if you have big projects or task management, this software, you can do all of that in one place instead of like having something for tasks, having something for emails, having something for comms. It's like a big all-in-one. So that's how we use ClickUp, and that's what it is.
We also use Slack, which I know is a popular thing that a lot of people in the workforce in general
the
use.
Corporate cuties.
So we use Slack too, Google Calendar, Zoom. What else? Those are kind of our main ones. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So she helps, like, anytime we're introduced to a new, like, app like that or software like that, Taylor is the one who's like, okay, so here's the software.
Here's how it works.
This is how you use it. Click here, do this, save it like this. Yeah. This is how we're going to stay organized. Mm-hmm. She's very good at that. We have all our stuff on ClickUp now, freshly organized, thanks to Taylor.
Proud.
She had to go in and move everything around and rename everything and put it in folders. So she spends a lot of time on that, which is super helpful because there's just so many moving parts, and keeping track of it digitally is a huge part of it.
Mm-hmm. And we all learn how quickly things can go missing. And it's not until you need them that you realize like, oh, nobody documented that.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
We're working on it.
Processes. We're building our processes like SOPs and stuff where it's like in the folder. If you don't know how to do this, here is how you do it. Like it's documented. So just lots of behind the scene things. I feel like I spend my time on that, but I like that kind of stuff. I enjoy it. So it's very much like if you need it, I can do it.
You're the tech bestie. That's what she's... If you guys don't follow Taylor, which you should, TikTok, Instagram, all the things, YouTube.
Yeah. Listen, we're working on YouTube.
You do. but she has really been tapping into her tech side, doing a lot of tech reviews, stuff that is helpful for the everyday person though too.
Yeah.
So like stuff you didn't know that your iPhone could do, y'all need to follow her, cause she'd be giving out the gems and what products you need and apps and things like that.
Yeah.
But you haven't always done this or been the tech bestie necessarily. You've done a lot of things over your lifespan as far as career-wise and being an entrepreneur. So can you walk us through your story, your timeline?
Sure. So, and I'm going to start from like a professional age, you know, where I'm like 18 and up, because I had a lot of odd jobs. But I just literally made a post about this yesterday, and I said I was walking into my fourth life because I feel like every couple of years I'm like, it's time for something new. But I started as a makeup artist, a MAC makeup artist. That was like back in 2012, 2013. And I did that on and off for about 7 years. So that's probably like my longest span of career. I did MAC makeup artistry and then also worked for Bobbi Brown in between. And I loved being a makeup artist. I also did freelance. And then I was also like a beauty girl on socials because I feel like everyone was a beauty girl.
That's
on socials.
When I like became aware of you. It was when you were in your beauty guru, MAC makeup artist era for sure.
Yep. Cause I was like showing up on socials like everybody else and like BeautyCon and those kind of events, like all the Ipsy stuff. Like I was trying to show up for as much of that as I could. That's when I met, I would say, the bulk of my internet friends. Like we all started to connect because it was like young black girls in the beauty space. And so I did that for a while. Then I just got burnt out because I think after becoming a mom, I just didn't have as much time to put towards sitting down and spending 2 hours on my makeup. And I was like, Well, I am one of those people where I'm like, I like to do things that reflect what I'm really doing in real life, because I, and Raven's kind of like this too. We have this thing where it's like, we don't love always creating content and then like living our life around. Like
fabricate something for the content and then you go and live your real life separately.
It's like the opposite. It's like, I want to live my life and my life be content. Mm-hmm. So after that, I was like getting into being a lash tech. I did that for a while, which I also enjoy, but it really messed up my back. Warning to the girlies who are into that. And while I was doing that, I also had a lash business called Your Lash Bar.
Shut, I still got Your Lash Bar lashes I hear in that the drawer. Often. I still, you know what, my tweezers that I use to do these are the Your Lash Bar, the black tweezers.
Yeah, see, the things are still floating out there. They're floating out there for sure. But I had Your Lash Bar as a business for a couple of years, which I also really love. But when I started getting burnt out of makeup, obviously lashes kind of fell into that. So I was like, nah, I want to do something different. But I liked being a business owner and I liked all the things like building the website and stuff. So I took that and pivoted into tech. I actually pivoted into coding because I really liked web development, but I wanted to learn how to build websites from scratch. So I challenged myself to be self-taught, and then I rolled into tech and I rolled into being a self-taught developer. And I did that for a good year before I landed my first developing job at a small digital agency. And I did that for about 9 months. And then I was like, okay, I like tech and I like business. I want to consult. I want to like be able to help businesses with all the tech things, but also business strategy. That is when I like moved to Austin. I decided I wanted to do more like consulting strategy, social media strategy, business strategy. And
that is where she officially joined the RETV team, because she was in her consulting era and I needed consulting.
You were like, come over here.
I needed consulting because at that time I was really trying to amp up my Instagram account specifically. I've always been on Instagram, but I had kind of really let it die down. Wasn't posting consistently, didn't have a strategy, didn't have a schedule, didn't have anybody helping me with it behind the scenes. And that was something that I felt like Taylor would be really good at, to kind of help me stay on track and build out some systems and some schedules and just put more effort behind my Instagram. So that is the original reason why I hired her on to be like my Instagram strategist, essentially. And so we worked really hard that year. What year was that? 2021?
Yeah, that must have been. Because when did you move? Yeah, because I moved in 2020. So the start of 2021, we like kicked it in a gear. We're like kicking off the year strong. And we did do a good job.
We did a good job. That's when I was working with Rel heavy, consistently doing photo shoots with Rel, my photographer friend. We were doing the shoots. We had our schedule. We had our all of our apps for planning out the content. And she really helped me a lot. Like, it worked. It definitely worked. Her strategy, her consulting. I saw the results of it. What had happened was... things just shift and change. Yeah. And I kind of shifted my priorities, interests.
Yeah. Well, TikTok was coming up and you were really into TikTok. And you when it came up and it was like... They had said like TikTok's going to be a thing. Raven is very goal oriented. And she was like, I know it's going to be something. So she just went full force into TikTok. And that paid off. It paid off and it did what it needed to do.
I wish I would, to be transparent, I wish I would have split my time and kept on with the Instagram strategy that we built while also building up TikTok at the same time and just like double down on it, because it would be beneficial to just have both going. Right. But I sort of like abandoned Instagram. I was like, thanks for your help, Taylor, but I'm going to go do TikTok now. And we just like stopped doing.
Yeah.
Also, Rel switched up his thing. Yeah. So I didn't really have my full-time photographer like I used to have. And so,
and photos were not as popular at the time too. Remember,
the other thing,
we were shooting a lot of photos and Instagram had announced Reels and they were really pushing Reels. And so the things we were doing, we were like actually doing photo shoots. And so it was like, well, if they don't even care about photos, then you know,
I got discouraged when Reels came out, because I was like, well, I'm already doing y'all know how things go. So Taylor's role switched from being Instagram strategist to like operations manager.
Yeah.
And that's when she started doing more of what we explained earlier with the behind the scenes SOPs and things like that.
Yep.
And nowadays you just do what's needed.
Yeah. I just float and it works for me and it works for you, works for the business. And they know like anywhere I can be of service, just tap me on the shoulder and be like, can you do this?
But when I made that transition of not focusing on Instagram anymore, you also made a transition of your consulting.
Yes.
In general.
Because
kind of
Instagram, when we were doing Instagram, we were taking a lot of time. Like, the pictures look good. The strategy worked. But baby,
it's time consuming.
It was late nights and early mornings. Like, we would have shoot days sometimes all day long. You know, remember we did the hotel?
Yes.
Yes. It's like all day things. So once we shifted a bit, I had more time to just have like other clients and consult with other clients on top of consulting and working with Raven. So I did that for a while and I really liked it. But then I hit a wall. And we're going to talk more about this. But anytime I personally hit a wall in entrepreneurship, I generally dive back into the 9-to-5 space. And the reason I do that is because I've always looked at 9-to-5s as like paid internships. Like, I look at them like, okay, you're going to pay me, right, to do this job. Cool. And I'm going to give you my time. But while I'm on your clock, I'm going to be learning something that I can take and put back into my business. So after consulting for a while, this was like last year, end of last year, mm-hmm. I was like, you know what? It's time for me to learn something because I feel like I'm hitting a wall and I don't want to just sit here twiddling my fingers. So I started applying for contract jobs, just something like, you know, 6 months, a year so I can learn. And I ended up landing a technical project manager position at Apple, which was unexpected for all of us. I think.
Yeah, literally, I felt like out of nowhere, she was like, oh, I got a job at Apple. I was like, Apple? What? Like, that's major.
Yeah.
That was really cool though. And I feel like that's almost like, it's like a bucket list thing too.
Yeah, it was for me because I never ever intended, I still have this dream of working for a startup. But I was always looking for a startup position at a company to like build. I'm very interested in building things from the ground up. And so I was like, okay, well, I want to like learn in a professional environment, but if I can do it with a startup, I can get, you know, both sides. The thing is, Apple came knocking on my door and I was like, I don't believe they're gonna hire someone who hasn't been in the field for a couple of years and just been consulting, but like, let's just see.
Never know till you try.
That turned out to be an actual job. And I did that for about 6 months. I feel like I got what I needed from that opportunity. And now I'm back. Entrepreneur.
Full-time entrepreneur. Full-time
entrepreneur. Yep. And I'm kind of just floating to see like what opportunities strike me and can give me what I need to get to the next spot. But I'm very much, I'll go wherever. I'm not the type of person that's like, I'll never work a 9-to-5. And I'm not the type of person that's like, I'll never be an entrepreneur. I don't have a type. I ain't got no type. If the money is good and the opportunity is good and I can learn, I'm down.
Yeah, clearly we could see from your story, like,
yeah,
flexible, go with the flow, not afraid to try new things, mm-hmm. not afraid to start over, not afraid to put yourself out there, because that's a lesson for the viewers at home.
Yeah.
The way she just was like, oh, I don't know, I don't think Apple will hire me, but let me just see, boom, got hired.
Yeah, just never know. I feel like it's so important to not be afraid to start over. One thing I've learned walking into my fourth life is every time I step into a new life or a new level, I make more money. And that's something
that's always been an upgrade for you.
It's always. And it's like, the thing is, I think people get afraid to start over because they think I'll never beat what I'm currently doing. Like, I'm making six figures. I'll never make more than this. So like, let me just stay here. It's comfortable. It's easy, you know, but it's like, that's not true. Nobody ever, you said that, but you know, ain't nobody else said that. So yeah, starting over it's probably like one of the best things that I'm comfortable doing, and I'm happy that I am comfortable doing that. So, yeah.
I feel like right now, what I see you doing is tapping into social media, you know, mm-hmm. positioning yourself as an influencer, as a creator,
yeah.
pumping out the consistent content. Some of your content has really been taking off recently.
Yeah.
TikTok and Instagram.
Yeah, it's different because I've always been like a part-time creator. And that works for me, you know, like I said, because I'm so flexible and I like to do a lot of things. Part-time content creation has always worked. As of recent, it started to pick up a little bit. I signed with a different agency and they are very serious about my direction as like a Black woman in the tech hardware software space. So they're really pushing it. And this year alone, I've been able to work with like some household brand names where mm-hmm. I'm like, how did they find me? Mm-hmm. Like what's going on?
Getting the brand deals, getting on the PR list and in the tech industry.
it's hard.
Some yeah. good stuff. And yeah. also, the like you said, Black woman in tech, that's mm-hmm. a niche that needs to be filled.
Yeah, and it needs them more. So Black women in tech, as in working in tech, that's an amazing space to be in, because we need more encouragement to show up as software developers and engineers and project managers and product managers. But we also need encouragement to show up as nerds. We need to encourage each other to show up and talk about tech. We're all using it. We all have cameras. We all have lights. And it's like, I like to hear people who look like me talk about it in a language that I understand. Mm-hmm. And so when it comes to me sharing things about tech on like platforms, I try to make it relatable. And that's why I'm like, I'm your new tech bestie. Like, let's talk through lighting.
Mm-hmm. You do a really good job of breaking things down, making it digestible. Like you said, yeah. it's for us, by us, for us.
Yeah, it's very much that's my audience. You know what I mean? So I like it.
Yes. Okay. Well, I also put on my Instagram story for you guys to be able to ask us questions, anything in the realm of entrepreneurship, the difference between being your own boss versus being at a 9-to-5, mm-hmm. our business friendship relationship Ooh, situation. Yeah. So I haven't really looked through all these questions. I'm going to kind of just...
I know there are a lot. Like, oh boy.
Just kind of pick random ones. Let's see what y'all want to know. Okay. Here's I don't know if this is an easy one, but at least it's a simple question. I'm going to make you answer it yeah. first, because yes. I don't know. But if you had a 9-to-5, if you had to be working a 9-to-5 right now, mm-hmm. what would you choose?
I would, and I've tussled a lot with this. I used to really want to be a product manager. So when I was working at Apple and I was doing technical project management, I really liked that. But I wanted to deal more with engineers who were building things from scratch. So that's more so like product management. Like, you're managing people building up a product and then you're shipping the product, which is like launching it. I really wanted to do that. As of late, because I've been getting in my content creator bag a little bit more, I really want to be in a space where I'm like bridging the gap between content creators and like marketing. So
consulting between
it's like influencer marketing management, somewhere in that space where it's like I can help content creators get a bag from corporate companies. Mm. I don't know the exact title or how that could be looked at in the consulting space or contracting space, but that's, if I had to pick a job right now, I would be working with bigger brands and helping them find content creators that align with their vision to get them content creators paid, honey. Mm. That's what I would do.
That's a good one. Now, for me, this is a hard question for me, because fun fact, I've never had a 9-to-5 job. Like a true grown-up adult, definitely not corporate 9-to-5 job. Yeah. My most job experience I had was back in college when I used to work retail. That's my only other job that I've had. Mm-hmm. So I have no idea what it's like. I'm the opposite of Taylor in the sense that she's gone back and forth. She's got all this mm-hmm. experience, done all these different things. I have been a social media content creator my entire adult life.
What a flex.
Which is, it's like, is that a flex?
What a flex.
Okay. I don't know if that's a flex, because it's a lack of experience is what it comes down to. So that's, I have no
true.
Idea.
That's,
I mean,
not what? That's, it's not a lack of experience, because you would be surprised. Raven works 17 roles. She just has no idea that those are roles. That's true.
Yes. So within being a creator, you gain experience in a lot of different areas, but what you don't gain is the specific experience of going out into the workforce.
I understand what you mean.
The corporate. Yeah. Specifically corporate experience, I would say.
But it all transitions.
That's true.
It does transition. Like, if you shut your company down today and you listed out your skills on your resume, someone will hire you. And that's my point of it. It's like,
okay,
you just would have to do the research to figure out what I would have to.
I don't know. Like, I don't even know. Like, the way you just listed out these job titles, I'm like, what is that? I don't even know what those things are. Like, I couldn't even give you a proper job title of I want to be a blankety blank, because I don't know what it's called. I don't know. I think people always ask me, because I got my degree in fashion design, mm-hmm. they're like, would you do something with that? You're like, I don't have a strong desire right now. I do not have a strong desire to do anything in the fashion world. I don't have a strong desire. What's the quote? I simply do not. They say, like, what's your dream job? And you're like, I simply do not dream of labor. I don't have a dream. My dream is to not have a job.
Yes.
How about that? I don't know. I'm trying to give y'all an actual answer. What? Okay. What would you see me doing?
I could see you. Well, this is like, when you say job in 9 to 5, I'm like, I don't know.
Because 9 to 5 is what makes it hard.
Yeah.
Because there are other entrepreneurial things that I could list.
I could see you like owning, or I would say this, I could see you working in a something corporate interior design. And I don't know how to flesh that out more for y'all, but like she could be some kind of marketing manager at a design studio, or like a marketing manager at like
what Crate I could definitely do is be somebody else's social media manager.
Yes. You know, and eat it up. Yeah,
that so type like, of thing, like taking my experience as being a creator and translating that to I can provide you with the same, you know, for a company or something like that. So I could do that.
I could see like our social media
manager, marketing media, something. Okay. This is for both of us.
Okay.
Do you sometimes crave the stability of a 9 to 5 right now while we're in our entrepreneurship bags? Are you currently craving more stability, Taylor?
You know, I have my moments, and I think it is, it's not the stability of, I mean, I guess it could be the stability of financials, because like being, doing both at the same time, you can run it up. Okay. When I was working at Apple and I was also in my creator bag, I was running it up. Okay. And would I like to do that again? Sure. But I also realistically know that it's a lot. And so I don't necessarily crave to work that hard.
Like I said, don't dream of labor.
Don't dream of labor. But I do enjoy learning. Okay. I am a sucker for like picking things up, and I do crave opportunity to learn from different people.
What a great answer.
Is that a good answer?
Like, I just feel like you just nail every interview, job interview that you do. The way you answer a question, I crave opportunity and I thrive off of challenging. It's like any employer would just be like, wow, such a way with words.
You know, but yeah, but I mean, like, that's, I feel like I crave the opportunity to learn. And when the money comes with it, that's a good thing. Yeah. I like that. Yeah. But
I've been talking to Zoe about this recently. I kind of am craving a little more stability in my life these days. I've been having some emotional moments recently due to the lack of stability, the lack of routine, the lack of repetition, if that makes sense, because everything is forever changing in my work life. And sometimes I feel like I wake up on Monday and I'm just like, I don't even know what this week is about to entail. And that gives me anxiety just from the workload and the scheduling alone. Then you compound that with not knowing what the financials are going to look like either. Because you never know. It's very sporadic. 1 month you could get a million brand deals and just be rolling in it. The next month things go dry, crickets, emails not coming through, offers not coming through. So it does go up and down. I've been lucky in the sense that I haven't had super low lows. I haven't had crazy spikes for the most part, but recently I've been feeling the motion in the ocean and feeling a little sick of that. And I was telling Zoe, I was like, I wish almost if anything that I had an office space. Like if I had a separate office space outside of my house where from this time to this time, 9 to 5, Monday through Friday, like a normal schedule, we go to the office and at 5 o'clock we leave the office and that's it. And there's no crossover between, you know, work life and personal life. I think that would give me that stability feeling. Yeah. But unfortunately that just doesn't make sense for what I do, the type of content and stuff that I'm currently working on. It needs to be a home base. It makes the most sense for it to be a home base and a home office situation. Like, you know, right now we're filming in my home office. I have Zoe, my assistant, come over to my home. The person that we're thinking about hiring is going to be coming into my home. Like, it's just what makes the most sense for what I do. But I do wish that there was a way to kind of like make it mirror a normal 9 to 5 situation a little bit more. But we're just working on trying to be a little bit more organized and reduce the stress and anxiety in other ways since we know we can't do that. But to, short answer is yes. Sometimes I do crave the stability of a 9 to 5. Let's see. Is it hard working with Raven?
Is it hard working with Raven? Let me repeat the question back. Actually, you guys, it is very easy. I would say 98% of the time, me and Raven are pretty aligned. I would say there's 2% of the time where I feel like the big sister and I'm like, Raven, Elise, pull it together, okay? You are the star of this show and you will act as such. But I feel like 98% of the time we, and I think it's more than us just being Virgos. I think even though me and Raven have very different lives, essentially, we have aligning like morals. You know what I mean? Like our moral compass is the same. We, our goals, we're very work, like goal oriented and just driven, and we work hard and we like to work. You know what I mean? For the most part. So I feel like it's easy to work with somebody when y'all are pretty much aligned and you like have the same
wavelength.
Yeah, yeah. So I no, it's not hard to work with Raven. No, sometimes it's hard to get our entire team on the same page from time to time. But that's with any team anywhere. I've worked, like I said, corporate jobs, and this is way easier. This team is way easier than teams I've had to work with in the past. So
because somebody also asked, like, the fact that I'm your boss and your bestie, do the lines ever get blurred? Does that make it difficult because you're also my friend?
I don't think so. And here's why I think we don't have that issue. Raven is very much like, if you know the answer, answer it. Like, I don't know. But if you know, do it. So I think that the boss aspect, it like waters it down because Raven's like, here's what I need.
I'm not a bossy boss.
No.
I'm not going to say I'm not bossy, but I'm not. The nature of the team is not like Raven's on top and everybody underneath and y'all shut the hell up because I'm the boss. It's the opposite. Like, I hired y'all for a reason because I need help.
Yes.
So please help me. Like, yes. I'm like, okay, turn it over to y'all. Y'all speak up. Y'all throw out some ideas. Like, please, I want to hear what you have to say. I want to hear your ideas. It's not all about me at all. And also everyone on the team is like a friend or a family member, except for like Zoe, which even Zoe has acclimated into the group quite well. She's not just like an employee vibe. She also has that friend vibe too, almost.
But she's the most employee we've had so far. Everyone else is family or a friend.
My mom, my sister, Taylor, me. So it's like a very, it's a more casual environment where you don't have to be afraid to speak up and just like, it's not so stuffy and professional at all.
No, we all definitely have opinions. We all voice our opinions. At the end of the day, like our goal is to support Raven. So, right, like whatever we do, it needs to be supporting her vision or supporting her goals. And I think everyone's kind of on the same page with that. So she doesn't feel like she has to be a hover over. She doesn't hover over us. She's like, did you do this today? We try to work so that she doesn't have to do that. And also we have Miss Tony who like makes sure things get done so that Raven doesn't have to do that. So no, we don't really have overlap. We literally will go on a meeting and then voice memo each other and be like we're not even, it's like we know how to turn it on and off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes we're literally doing it at the same time.
Yeah.
Like we have two, like we have our normal text conversation going about like personal bestie stuff. And then while we're on the work meeting, so I'll be like texting her on the side about, you know, my dating life or something. And then talking to her through Zoom about work stuff.
Yeah. Sometimes it's urgent. I'm like, tell me now. I can't wait.
Let's see. Okay. How do you budget your money, or do you budget your money differently as an entrepreneur versus having a 9-to-5 because you're not getting that same sort of guaranteed routine check?
Yeah. You learn to save. And I say learn because if you don't know how and you have that experience of not saving, and then you have what I like to call a dry month. Because that happens in entrepreneurship. And what that means is that doesn't mean you're not making any money, right? But when you're running a business, you can like, you can be in the red, which means like I made $40,000 this month, right? Cool. But if you need to make $50,000 to keep your business running and the lights on, then you only made $10,000 profit, right? But there, if you're not careful, right? And you're not saving and you're not aware of this, sometimes you will make less than what you need. Mm-hmm. And so the solution I have for that, because I jump back and forth, I just have learned to save my money. Like, that's the simple answer. It's like, I know what's coming, you know? Mm-hmm. I know that there may be months where I have 2 brand deals, or there may be months where I have 6. There may be months where I have none. So my expenses have to be accounted for at all times. I also have, to be fair, I'm in a 2-person household. I have a working husband. He also has to save his money and be accountable for the expenses that we split. So I don't know if I answered that well, but
I agree though. I think saving and investing, having money set mm-hmm. aside, whether yeah. it's just in a savings account, which is not the best thing because, mm-hmm. you know, you can have at your least money work a high for yield. You. Yeah. But whether it's in a savings account or you're investing it somewhere, you need to have your emergency funds, but more than just barely emergency funds. Mm-hmm. If you can, the goal is to have, because somebody else asked, like, would you be able to live off of your savings if things suddenly went south with your entrepreneurship? Mm-hmm. Yes, that's important. Mm-hmm. You need to be prepared for that because it's so unknown. Yeah. Like you said, you could have 1 dry month, but what if you have 3 dry months
yeah.
in a row?
Yeah.
Now what? You don't want to just be SOL mm-hmm. just like that. So saving, living below your means. I've been saying this for years.
Yeah.
Every time somebody asks yeah. me anything about money, live below your means. It's easy to get excited mm-hmm. when your business starts picking up. Yeah. You're getting the brand deals. Think, oh, I never made this much money in my life. Let me buy this car, this house, this. Because you feel like now I can afford it. But can you afford it?
Afford is subjective.
Afford means yeah. to me, I always say, can you buy it twice?
Yeah, and I'm like, buy 3.
Can you buy at least 2 or 3 of these? If not, if you can barely yeah. only buy 1, you can't afford it.
Yeah.
That's how I look at things because yeah. I always want to make sure I've got, if I'm going to, you know, it's like the half and half rule. If mm-hmm. I'm going to spend this much, I need to have that same amount to fall back on.
Yeah.
If anything happens.
Yeah. And also streams of income, people.
Yes.
Multiple streams of income yes. at all times. I don't care if you're selling a digital product online. I don't care if you're door dashing. I don't care what you're doing, right? Like, as long as you have your job and you have something on the side, like, it helps, you know, because if you are working a corporate job and all you have to depend on is that corporate income and they fire you,
mm-hmm.
that's going to suck. You know what I mean? And I've been there before. I've been let go on a job way back when that was all that I had. And when I had that experience, I was like, never again.
Yeah.
So multiple streams of income also helps when you're not making money from one stream. At least you have this other stream.
And if you need to kick more energy yeah, into the exactly. other stream, you have something already going. You're not yeah. starting from scratch. That's a really good point. Even yeah. me, like, although I am a full-time social media content creator and I don't necessarily do all these other different random things outside mm-hmm. of that, I still consider myself to have multiple streams of income because yes. I am on different platforms. Mm-hmm. So I don't just do YouTube
right.
and bank on my YouTube income only.
Yep.
I consider Instagram to be another stream. TikTok is another stream. Affiliate linking is another stream. Mm-hmm. So having all of that going so that if I don't get any YouTube brand deals, which this has been happening,
yes.
if I don't get any YouTube brand deals coming through, okay, I can amp it up on TikTok.
Yep.
So you want to have those options because you literally never know.
You just don't know. Like, it's like nothing's promised. Mm-hmm. And if you're only depending on one thing, it puts you in a bad spot. It doesn't put the people who are employing you in a bad spot. It doesn't put the brands that are hiring you in a bad spot. It puts you in a bad spot. So think about that. If you have one, I don't care what the one source is, make it 3. Like, do your best to try to make it 2 or 3, at least have something.
What do you miss and what do you definitely not miss from your 9-to-5 life?
Okay. What do I miss from my 9-to-5 life? Now, I like stability as far as like knowing when you're going to get paid, right? Like, I like knowing that and being able to account for that. I miss knowing for sure, no matter what, I'm going to have X amount of dollars in my account coming in at all times. Like, that's a given. But what I don't miss, and I think it's different for every job because every job is a different experience. If I had to just talk about working for Apple, what I don't miss, and this is so, y'all forgive me, but I was on a hybrid schedule and it was eating me alive because I've worked from home. Even my developer job was mostly work from home, for so long that going into the office sounds cool at first. And I think it depends on the person.
Yeah.
Right? Like some people.
Some people hate working from home and want to be at the office. Thrive
in that environment. And I met people who really loved that we were on a hybrid schedule because they just, they had hella kids at home or like, you know, they didn't have a designated workspace at home. That wasn't my reality. I liked working from home. And so being on the hybrid schedule, I didn't enjoy it. So I don't miss having to go into the office, even though the office is cool, right? Like these tech companies, they really put a lot into their office spaces and things like that. I just don't miss commuting. I don't miss getting dressed, you know, like, and having to actually put on pants to work. I don't miss that. So,
Yeah, I think right now, like I was saying, I was saying I kind of crave going into the office just because I've never done it.
Mm-hmm.
So it, like, I think it's like you said, it sounds cool, yeah, but I probably wouldn't like it once I got into it.
And like for you, maybe you would because it's your office. Like, you know, that's for me, true. I was going into an office where I had to be around people all the time and I had to like small talk. And like, I'm just not really that type of person. I like people, but I don't love people, mm-hmm, you know? And I think in environments like that, people who love people just thrive. And so for you, like if you had your own office and it was yours and it's like,
yeah, if it was just me and just us,
you might like it. I don't know.
Because then I could come in my pajamas, yeah, if I wanted to, I guess, exactly, if it's my space.
You don't
space.
Have to small talk.
Yeah.
You don't have to be around people if you don't want to. It's your shit, you know? So
that's true. Okay, this is a good question. How do you hold yourself accountable to your goals? If you are your own boss and there's nobody above you, ooh, holding a knife to your throat, yeah, to make sure you get shit done.
Yeah.
How do you hold yourself accountable?
You want me to answer this first?
I'll go first.
Because I feel like this is a good one for Raven to answer first.
The main thing that holds me accountable, that keeps me, you know, people, how do you stay motivated? How do you stay consistent? How do you wake up with the urge to just do this every day? First of all, I don't wake up with the urge to do this every day. Who said that?
I already knew that was coming. Keep going.
Who said that was even the case? Because yeah, it's not. We all have our bad days. We all have our low moments. Mm-hmm. I definitely do. Mm-hmm. But what keeps me motivated, keeps me disciplined and holds me accountable. First of all, I am a naturally goal-oriented person. Yes. So if I have a specific goal set, like I want to reach 1 million subscribers on YouTube, I want to get X amount of views consistently on my videos, I want to work with this brand. If I have those really specific goals set, I just have tunnel vision. I am not stopping until I reach that goal. That works for me.
Yeah.
You know, some people just are not as goal oriented. Can't help you there.
Don't know.
But the other thing that keeps me, you know, holds me accountable is I'm a mom, a single mom at that. And I now have built up my company to be a team of people. Without Raven Elise, there's no Raven Elise TV. So there's no anything else for everyone else, mm-hmm, who works for me. And they're relying on being able to come to work every day, and they're relying on their income as well. So that's what holds me accountable. My daughter and my team, that's like the biggest thing. Cause I know that they're all relying on me in a sense. And if I drop the ball, if I decide I'm not working today, then that, mm-hmm, throws everything off. Yeah. So that's like kind of my biggest motivator.
I like that. Those are good ones. And those are real. Cause she says it a lot. Mm-hmm. Like with the team, she's like, if I don't show up, what y'all gonna do? Mm-hmm. It's like, it's good to know that she's always thinking about that from that place, even though sometimes I'm like, Raven, what do you want to do? She knows. I'm always like, I'm very Raven, Elise.
You're very good at,
yes,
you know, focusing in on me, making sure, yes, I'm good on a personal level, yes, before just everything else.
Yeah. What keeps me...
What holds you accountable?
What holds me accountable? My bills. My bills.
The threat of homelessness.
You know, the house I live in. No, but obviously, like, the things I have to pay for to afford the current life that I live,
mm-hmm,
those are, that's a given. That's everyone, no matter what you're doing, right? Mm-hmm. What else? My future self, I think, holds me accountable because I know that 35-year-old Taylor really needs to be on a yacht. Somewhere foreign, okay?
In a thong.
And for me to do that, right, this version of me has to put in the work. And I'm really good at, like, I'll work now so I don't have to work later. Like, I think I've ingrained that into my mind. So it's like, I don't mind. I don't mind late nights. I don't mind early mornings. I don't mind putting in whatever I have to put in to get the result because I'm result oriented.
So you have a natural hustle mentality. And yeah. I try to tell people this. Some people, either you have it or you don't. Some people have to force themselves a lot harder to work hard. I don't know if that sounds conceited, but like, I feel like that's what you were saying earlier. You and I are similar in that way. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's a Virgo thing. If you believe in that, I don't know. But if you have a natural hustler mentality, a natural desire to work, a natural desire to achieve and hit goals and make new goals, it kind of just...
You're going to just do it. You're doing it. Not even when you don't want to. And I think one thing that's helped me, if you don't have the natural, because when we say that like some people have and some people don't, it's not a negative connotation. Mm-hmm. Some people just don't have the hustle mentality, but they have other skill sets that can also make them very successful and make them a lot of money. You just have to tap into what those are. The one thing I would say, if you don't have it naturally, the best way I can give advice to like doing things is like remove the feeling from it. Remove the emotion of like, I feel like it or I don't, right? Like people who hustle don't always feel like hustling. But they don't worry about what they feel like doing. They worry about what needs to be done. And if you can find that balance,
it's, where it's like, being goal or think about the goal. Think about the not the A, but the Z.
Right. So it's not like, oh, I don't feel like going to shoot content today. It's like, I need to shoot 10 pieces.
Do you feel like being on a yacht later?
Period. Like, I need to shoot.
Do you feel like being a millionaire?
Yes.
Then do you feel like being successful? Do you feel like gaining more followers? What do you feel like?
Right.
Phrase it that way.
Yes, exactly. And you'll be able to get it done. You will be able to see the light at the end of the tunnel. But naturally, we're hustlers. And so, you know, it just comes
with it. I have the opposite problem of not hustling all the time. Like, sometimes you need to sit your ass down.
Yeah.
Problem.
Yeah. I'm like that too sometimes. Like, people have to tell me, like, put your, like, the way my husband has to, like, take my laptop from the bed at the end of the night and, like, put it on his side. And he's like, we're just going to watch TV. That's all we're going to do. And I'm like, okay. I need to, but yeah.
This is a good question for you.
Okay.
How did you get over the fear of the unknown when making these changes?
I love why you're like, this is for you. I don't think I ever got over the fear of the unknown. I think I still fear the unknown. But I think what you have to do is just do it. And you know how people say, like, do it scared. Mm-hmm. That's it. Like, it's like you think that these feelings are telling you what to do and what not to do. But they're just natural feelings that everyone has. Everyone is afraid to start over. Everyone is afraid to do something new. Everyone is afraid of failing, right? To a certain extent. Mm-hmm. The difference between the people who are doing it and who aren't is... the people who are doing it anyways.
They're scared. They're worried. They're nervous. They're just pushing through
to do it anyways. And so that answer is now at this point, I'm pretty confident in starting over because I've done it four or five times. So I'm like, if I fail, then oh well. And also failure is looked at as a negative thing. Quitting is looked at as a negative thing. And I like to take that negative connotation away from those things because I'm like, sometimes you need to walk away from things.
It's just a transition.
It's just a transition.
Learning experience, a transition.
It's not bad. It's like I've lost so much in the past 6 years and I've learned so much from those losses. Now I can go into things and I have the knowledge to operate differently and I wouldn't have had that if I didn't lose. So, you know, I don't not fear it. I just do it because it need to be done.
The question for me, is it hard to direct or correct your friends that you're in business with?
Yes. Because Raven's not confrontational.
I am very non-confrontational, I will admit. I do not like to direct or correct in general. But I will say there's not much directing and correcting that needs to be done.
Right.
You know, I didn't hire Taylor because she's my friend who needed a job.
No.
She didn't need a job, actually.
I was like,
please find some time in your life to do this job. But yeah, it's not like I'm doing her a favor and she don't know what she's doing. And now I gotta
move me around. Yeah.
No, she knows what she's doing more. That's why I hired her.
Yeah.
So she's directing and correcting me, if anything. So that's, you know, not as much of a problem. Occasionally, honestly.
But you'll do it if it needs to be done. You will do it. Like, you will say something if something needs to be said. Yeah, she will.
And I'm working on it, you know, speaking up and being more
direct,
you know, strong in that way. But I don't, it's not hard from the perspective of like, y'all make it hard,
yeah,
or something that y'all are doing that makes you feel uncomfortable. It's just my natural personality. I'm like that with everyone.
Everyone's like, please don't.
Please don't look at me. Don't talk to me.
Don't make me.
How do you balance being an entrepreneur, being a mom, for you being a wife, your personal time, your health, all the things, and your scheduling and everything?
Yeah. I've been practicing this question for a long time. because I ask myself this so often, because I have guilt around, especially mom guilt. I think that's probably my strongest guilt, is like, sometimes I'm working and I'm like, I would like to be spending more time with my kid, or like, should I be spending more time with my kid? But in short answer, I don't find balance. I don't think I have this magical flow of how things work. I think there are certain seasons where one thing requires more from me than the other, and I show up the best I can for that thing that requires more of me. Sometimes my son needs more attention than my business. Mm-hmm. And when he needs more attention than my business, I give him the attention, you know? And sometimes my business needs more attention than my personal schedule. And I know that probably sounds bad to some people, all the self-care girlies that are mm-hmm. like, put yourself first. It's like, be realistic. Mm-hmm. You can't always
be fucking
like,
real though.
Be fucking for real. Sometimes you can't just go to going to the spa every week. It is not going to keep
your business
afloat. I was
just talking about this on my Instagram story literally last night.
It's not.
There's a lot of self-care things that I would love to do routinely.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just don't have time. Between being a business owner mm-hmm. and a mom mm-hmm. and all the things, you pick and choose. Like you said, you week to week, month to month, pick and choose what gets the love this week and this month. That's just the harsh reality of it. You cannot fit. It is only 24 hours in the day. Fit what you can fit and mm-hmm. try to rotate it as equally as you can. You know, if it's like a rotating cycle, you know, of course you want to have some balance to it, but a lot of times that's not in my control. You know, who's to say what needs my attention the most this month, or what I have to do because I have to do it and I don't have a choice. So there's not ever a perfect balance of all the things equally scheduled out. Mm-mm. You know, I have no balance. It's so random.
I think the most thing is like, there are things that require consistency for me. Being a mother requires consistency, right? Because our kids require us to show up to them in some capacity every single day, no matter what. Mm-hmm. No matter what else is going on, I'm still a mother, right? I'm a wife. Those things require me to show up, and I show up as best as I can. But I will say, it helps when you have people around you that are understanding of your situation. And so like for Raven, she has great support from her parents. They're very understanding of the fact that like, yes, you are a mom, but sometimes you have to work late. So let us come get Zaya and pour into her so that you can do what you need to do. Same with like my husband. If I'm working late, he'll take Levi and do something with him. So Levi's not suffering. Zaya's not suffering. You know what I mean? It's just, we have to find a way to make it all work. And I think,
and if you don't automatically have people who are offering, you can't be afraid to ask
that
for help.
Oof. And I'm horrible at that.
Ask for help from friends, family, whatever it may be when it comes to like kids, but also you have to pick and choose. Again, pick and choose where you're pouring your time into. You know what needs your time. You know when you're crumbling apart on a personal level and you need some self-care time.
Absolutely.
And you need to ask for help. Can't, you know, I have to ask my parents, can y'all watch Zaya so I can have a day? I've been on X Games mode. I need a day to myself. Can y'all please come get this child for a little bit?
Help me.
Help. Or friends have to, a good friend is going to be understanding. Taylor hits me up, oh, let's go do this. And I'm like, no, I can't because I'm working on content or I want to do something with Zaya or I just need a day. You know, being understanding. All my friends are very understanding about me not responding right away, not answering the phone, not always being able to show up to stuff.
We know your personal boundaries. We respect her personal boundaries. If I need to get in touch with Raven, I'll either FaceTime her or voice note her. I know those are the two ways that I can get her. You know, and if she doesn't respond in 24 hours, I know she needs the time. She's not ignoring me. She just needs the time. Like, and I think that the boundaries part is good too.
Somebody asked, because I spoke about this on a previous episode. I spoke about like the hardships I was facing. You know, we're taking a little bit of a dip right now financially. It's looking like not so good.
It's not going to be a dip to them. The hardships aren't going to hard for them.
But somebody asked, for Taylor, how did you feel when Raven announced that RETV might have to make some cuts?
Tell them how I reacted.
You were like, okay.
Okay.
Like, literally, you were like, is that it? Like, we were like, Taylor, we have something to tell you.
And I was like, okay.
Yeah. Like I said, I didn't hire Taylor because she was begging on the street for a job.
No.
Did you not hear the hustler mentality that Taylor had?
Yeah.
Has, she's not begging for work.
No. And also, my number one reasoning has pretty much been consistent and stayed the same. Like, I'm here to support Raven, right? Like, that's how I came in, and that's how I'm going to continue to be until she doesn't need me anymore. And at the point that she's like, I literally, we have grown out this team so much, we've done whatever, I don't need you anymore. That is what it is. I don't know. I guess it's because I know how to separate our friendship from our work life. If what she needs requires me, then I will support it. If she is at a point where it does not, I will not. And that is as simple as it gets. Like,
and I mostly felt bad about it because I didn't want to throw off your current, like, I guess I at least wanted to give you a heads up and give you time to rearrange and rethink and rebuild. I knew that you would be more than capable of doing the rearranging and rebuilding, and I'm not worried about you, you know,
being homeless.
Right. Like, I wasn't worried about you in that sense, but I'm like, we got a good thing going. You've got your routine going. You've got your time blocked out a certain way. If I come in and be like, just kidding, we're not doing that anymore.
Yeah.
That's just kind of annoying to have to restructure.
Yeah.
So that's more so why I was like, hate to tell you this, but you know.
But we restructured a couple times.
Yeah. Taylor was like, but we already, that's kind of a thing we do.
We do that. We bounce around. It's all good.
Do you ever get bored with your current entrepreneurship?
No. Because
it's always something.
It's always something. What I will say is, I don't get bored, but I do, like I said earlier, I do sometimes feel like I hit a wall where I'm like, all right, if I'm going to learn a new skill or I'm going to learn something different, it needs to come from outside of me. And so I'll, like, you know, take a course or like take a class or find a mentor or something. Like, I need
you're
stimulation.
Always like your answer earlier. You crave, what did you say?
Yeah. Opportunity.
Opportunity for learning and growth.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like you're always growing. You're always learning. There's no reason to be bored because you keep yourself
busy
and growing and learning and expanding. Never just sitting there being stagnant.
No,
at all.
I would lose my mind, I think.
Just for me, I have bouts of boredom. It's not boredom. It's more like burnout.
Yes.
I guess.
Which is normal.
Yeah. It's not that I'm bored. It's that I'm burnt.
Mm-hmm. And I get burnt on the creative side, like content wise. I just went through burnout. So it's like, and I don't think there's a way to avoid, you know, somebody like, avoid burnout by doing this. I'm like, no.
No.
You're going to just get burnt out. And then you'll pick it up again. So I do get burnt out from time to time.
Do you think, okay, well, question for you. Do you have a degree?
I don't have a degree, you guys. I tried to go to college 3 times. I'm a 3-time college dropout. And looking back, I'm like so happy I did that because I don't think what I'm doing right now would have required a degree. Now, we can stand on something different because some people say, like, working at Apple and being a technical project manager, like, you could use a degree for that.
You did it without it.
Yeah. And so, like, even the jobs that I like look at from time to time for opportunity, there's no, you know, I don't think I need it. So I don't have a degree. I'm a self-taught hottie. And
because the question was, do you think certain degrees can help you with entrepreneurship?
Ooh.
Can help you, of course. There's further learning, higher education can always help you. The question is it a requirement?
Is it a necessity?
No. Clear proof. Proof is in the pudding right here. Yeah. It is not a requirement to have a degree to be an entrepreneur or to even work at Apple.
Yeah. To have a six-figure
or
tech
do
job.
Anything that Taylor has done.
You don't need
it. I have a stupid little degree in fashion design.
It's not stupid.
So yes, technically I have a degree.
You're
same happy. Thing for me. Ain't got nothing to do with what I'm doing.
Yeah. And I see that sometimes with my friends who do have degrees. They're like, they're working in something where it's like, there are people beside them that don't have degrees and they're like, I'm so annoyed.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes, like, I mean, if you're a doctor or a lawyer or you're in a job where it's like, you absolutely need it.
But this specific question, just to say, like, does it help or do you need it for entrepreneurship? I mean, entrepreneurship is a vague,
very vague
term.
Because
there's so many types of entrepreneur, you know, what field are you talking about? It depends.
You could own your own practice as a doctor.
Yeah.
And you would need a lawyer degree for that. You know what I mean? Like, technically it could. I wouldn't say no.
I would say for us more specifically in more like creative tech sort of social media industry, no. There's no reason to just be trying to get your degree.
No. To do this.
Yeah. Specifically in our realm. Yeah. I can't speak for any other fields, but no, I would say no. I saw one in here that I feel like would be good to end off on. At the end of the day, after all you've worked for, is it worth it?
Wow. It's not too deep for the intro. Well, I don't know because I'm not there yet. I mean, I'm assuming where there is mm-hmm. like after all of the things. Mm-hmm. I mean, like if you're meaning like
retirement, when you look back on your life in old age,
it I better guess. Be.
I hope so.
Yeah, but as of right now, I feel like I'm still in the thick of it. I can't properly answer that question, but I will say this. You know, 3 years ago, my life looked totally different. Finances, where I was living, my happiness.
Amen.
Security, all of that, right? And the work that I've put in just this 3 years has changed my life significantly. So if you were to ask me, has it been worth it
thus far?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Same for me. Has it been worth it? Absolutely. Past me, present me, I'm glad to be present me. I'm glad I'm not Absolutely. Past me right now. So all the work and all the everything that it took to get here, I'm glad I did it. Mm-hmm. Don't regret it. Nope. Wouldn't have done it any other way. Nope. Honestly, can't think of a better way to have done it.
Yeah.
So yes, definitely worth it.
Period.
Yeah. I feel like that was a good little conversation. Hopefully we answered the questions you really wanted to mm-hmm. hear. Hopefully it was helpful in a way. You know, we're just two girls.
Yeah, we're just two Virgos trying to make some shake.
Yeah. All we can speak on is our personal experience. Mm-hmm. But hopefully it was helpful. Hope you guys enjoyed. Thanks for listening. Thanks for coming, Taylor.
Of course, anytime.
Love you, girl.
Love you.
Bye, y'all.